Good morning again from Harvest Church, Maple Ridge. It's a great joy to greet you in Christ's name as we invite you to join us in glorifying Him as our Father while we walk with Him who lights our path to righteousness and eternal life. The message today is a continuation of Ephesians 5, 1 and 2, following God as His dear children as we continue to walk in love as He is love. I trust you will be blessed as you listen to the message and to the upcoming songs, Sweep Over My Soul, Love Lifted Me, Leaning on the Everlasting Arms, and They That Wait Upon the Lord. Let's now join the service that's presently in session, and may the Holy Spirit speak to you as we speak to you in love.
And so, don't worry, just rest in the Lord, be still and know that He is God. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we ask you now in Jesus' name by the work of the Holy Spirit that you would empower us to trust you as never before. We thank you for the good work already accomplished in many of our lives. The deep settled confidence that we are your children and you are indeed our Father. Bless our time together, Lord. We bless those two girls that came by this morning. We pray that they'll return, Lord, for this morning's worship. And bless everything that is said and done, all to the honor and the praise of your glory. And we thank you now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Good morning, everybody. Number 121, Sweep Over My Soul.
Over my soul, sweep over my soul.
Heard my despairing cry.
leaning on the everlasting arms.
What a fellowship.
He's there when I'm in prayer. He's never
So then, if you have your Bibles again, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. As I said last week, the implications of following God is that we are totally, unreservedly, and unquestionably consumed with God Himself taking up full residence within our heart and our mind, our soul, so that as we live out body expressions, as we interact one with another in the family of God, and as we touch those that are beyond the sanctuary walls, God and Christ and the working of the Holy Spirit, who has translated us out of darkness into His marvelous light, may be seen and seen continuously. So Paul the Apostle has now been saying in Ephesians chapter 5, be followers of God as his dear child. Walk in love, even as Christ loved, so that we may be a sweet-smelling savor unto God himself. It seems that the world itself understands the need for love. Everybody, it seems, wants the world to get better. They say there is too much slander, too much thievery, too much robbery and killing. People are sick and tired of all the mediocrity of self-centeredness and the warfare that everyone attempts to elevate himself to be significantly number one in his or her own mind. People are saying that the world now needs love. And as you might remember, Jackie Chanin some time ago wrote the wonderful song, What the World Needs Now is Love, Sweet Love. And he puts it this way in the song, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone. Lord, we don't need another mountain. There are mountains and hillsides enough to climb. There are oceans and rivers enough to cross, enough to last till the end of time. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. No, not just for some, but for everyone. Lord, we don't need another meadow. There are cornfields and wheat fields enough to grow. There are sunbeams and moonbeams enough to shine. Oh, Lord, listen if you want to know. Oh, what the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. And so Jackie DeShannon, with the rest of the world, recognizes that there is pathos as the foundation to what is going on amongst humankind. And there is a cry that echoes from one side of the world to the next, to all peoples of all colors, all creeds, and all religions, if the world could only be touched by love, sweet love, that comes from above. And Paul the Apostle, way back in Ephesus, around 57 AD, as this church was growing, recognized that there needs to be love, sweet love. And today, the Church of Jesus Christ, here in Maple Ridge and other parts of the world, still recognizes and preaches the affirmative need for love, sweet love. And so Paul the Apostle now moves on. After he has established us with the full knowledge that we are God's dear children, he says, you can be the imaging of love, sweet love, as you walk in love. Paul now says that we can walk in love, and we need to walk in love, because it is love that flows from the heart of God to us. And as he develops the theme, he wants to ensure that you know exactly what it means to be walking in love. There are five Greek words that Paul would have known for love. The first one is what we call philema, the love of desire, like wishing to be somewhere or with someone that at presently you are not. So let's just say tomorrow morning, you wake up and you say, I wish I could be in Hawaii. That is the base element of desire. Then there is storge. It's natural affection as a parent has for his or her child. And then there's philia, the love of community, the love of fellowship, the love that shows a desire for one's best interest in a casual business sense. And then there's eros, from which we get the idea of sexual desire. And then the agape love. It's the epitome of love as shown when one holds another in high esteem so as to want to be his or her companion in a covenant relationship. It is used only in the fullest sense when we apply it to the idea of citizenship, where you have a first love and a royal love towards your country as being the affectionate place where you want to reside. For example, you and I today, because we are Canadian citizens, have the agape love towards Canada as our first desire of residence. Now, Paul wants you and I to know a couple things about this agape love. First of all, it is not resident within us. It comes from God Himself. It is God who is love, who has now placed within the heart of every one of us His love so that we may love one another. And as Paul preached this, he understood that the people there were very, very anxious about some of the problems that had happened in other churches. And so he reminds them that it is God and God alone that empowers you and I to walk in love, because He has predestined us to be His children before the foundations of the world were ever laid because of His great love. Remember, the Bible tells us that there is one Lord, one faith, one God, one baptism, and one God over all. And Paul's great desire in Ephesians is that you and I might be filled to the full and to running over with God's love that He has given to us freely because of His goodwill towards mankind. You see, there's one problem, however, and the problem simply is this, that you and I can only be filled with God's love as we humble ourselves under the hand of the Almighty so that He can take out of us our own will and pour into our hearts the love of God. Now, undoubtedly, you, like I, have a great problem loving at times, don't we? And what the Bible really confuses me about is it says that we are to love the Lord God with all our heart, with all our might, with all our mind, and with all our spirit. Love our neighbor as ourselves. Now that's very comforting. But then it also says that we are to love our enemies and to pray for those that deceitfully use us. And that's very, very difficult at times. Paul in Ephesians uses the word love 25 times in 6 chapters to demonstrate to us the significance of love. In Ephesians 1:4, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love. And Ephesians 2:4, but God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherein He hath loved us, even when we were dead in our sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places. So His love, His great love, empowers us to a continuous walk in love. We need to understand that as we walk in love, we become fixed on establishing a new priority. You and I, because of our human nature, are most definitely given over to think most highly of ourselves and to satisfy our own needs as the primary focus of love. But because of Christ being our example, as He has poured Himself out on the cross for us, now the call for us is to be imitators of God as we continuously walk with love as our main focus for our purpose of reason. In Ephesians, we understand that God Himself wants us to have love as the focal point for our life. Paul writes in Ephesians 3:14-21 that we should know God. Not only should we know God, that we should walk even as God walks. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that He would grant to you, according to the riches of His glory, to be strengthened with might by His power in the Spirit, in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ which passes all knowledge, that ye may be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, according to His power, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout the ages, world without end. And all Paul says is this, that God's glory is seen in the church, and His fullness is seen in you and I as we love one another. Paul's concept of continuous walk is basically this. As we take one step forward in trust that God loves us and that He will empower us to love others, we take the next step and the next step. And as we take baby steps of faith, eventually it becomes a natural outflow and our walk becomes a relaxed attitude of loving our brothers and sisters and even the ungodly. His love empowers a contemplative walk. Notice that Paul in Ephesians chapter 5 says that we walk in love even as Christ loved us. Christ is the protege for how we are to love. From Scripture we learn that Christ Himself loved because He did the will of the Father. He reported back to His disciples as He walked with them, "The things that I do and the things that I say are from the Father. I have come to do the Father's will." And when He commissioned the disciples, He said, "Even as the Father has sent me, so send I you." And this morning, Doug pointed out that we are to take up our cross, deny ourselves, and follow God. And that could well mean to take up the cross of love so that the world will not see us, but to see God. So Christ's teaching then was about love. "Little children, yet a little while I am with you. You shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, you cannot come. So now I say unto you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another, as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another." So love is a contemplative walk. We don't measure what love is by the world. We don't measure love by what others do to us. We don't measure love by the panacea of good works. Rather, we contemplate exactly how Christ loved us. John 15:9, "As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue me in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might be in you, and that your joy might be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another, as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Henceforth I call you not servants, for the servant knoweth not what the Lord does, but I have called you friends, for all things that I have heard of my Father I have made known unto you." So, we keep His commandments, and we love one another, and we lay down our life for others, even as Christ Himself has done for us. Notice, in Philippians, He left His glory. He took unto Himself the frame of a man, and He became a servant. My brothers and sisters in Christ, if you want to know the love of Christ as a contemplative walk, pour yourself out for others. Lay down your life for others as a servant to others so they can see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. For as Paul says, indeed our walk is all to the praise of His glory. His love empowers a configured walk as an offering and sacrifice unto the Lord. In Ephesians, Paul understands the laying down of an offering. Remember that Paul was a Jew. He knew the temple worship. He had sat under Gamaliel and he had been taught all the principles of the Jewish walk. But now he is speaking unto the Gentiles and Jews. And so by sacrifice he says that it should be a giving up of our day-to-day body walk in reality, in society, amongst humanity, which is unto God, which will be reflected as our reasonable service before God. You see, brothers and sisters, God has left us in the world as a witness as we lay down our life to God as an example to others that indeed the primary reason for living is God's kingdom on earth. in the foregoing verses of Ephesians 4:17-32, Paul already has said, put to death, put off, and now put on. And what he wants you and I to put on is the Lord Jesus Christ. As we put on the new man, which is after God's image, that is created in righteousness and true love, then we will give no place to the devil, and we will not be a stumbling block unto many who do not find God as Savior. The home of an English family was discovered on fire. They thought everyone was out, but they discovered that the baby was still there. The mother saved her. For years as the child grew up, the mother went about the house with her hands covered. But the daughter came unto the mother's room one day unexpectedly and saw her mother sitting in the chair crying with her hands uncovered. They were torn and scarred and disfigured. Instantly the mother tried to cover them up as the girl came forward. But the girl said to her, tell me, mother, what really happened? And the mother began, it was when the fire was in the house and you were in the cradle. I fought my way through the flames to get you. I wrapped you in a blanket, dropped you through the window, and somebody caught you. I could not go down the stairway, so I climbed out the window. My hands were burnt, and I slipped and caught on the trellis work. When I fell, my hands became torn. The doctor did his best, but my dear, these hands were torn for you. As the mother spoke, the girl, who had now grown into womanhood, sprang towards her mother, took one hand and then the other, and buried her face in those hands as she kept on saying, they are beautiful hands. Beautiful hands, mother. They are beautiful hands. The labor of your hands become beautiful as they are wrapped in the scars of love that some may not see, but they will also appreciate. We need to understand that the sacrifice and an offering unto God is the configured walk that needs to be exemplified as the people of God. Because we are not our own. We have been bought by God through the blood of Christ. We are His peculiar people, His valued people, His dear children, and we are called to imitate the character of God Himself, who through Christ stretches out His hands and says, and this I did for you. Beautiful hands, redemptive hands, servant hands, for you and for I, as Christ configured Himself to do the will of God as an offering and a sacrifice unto Him. Amen? And then, it empowers a contented walk. I've been a Christian for over 60 years. I don't know about you today, but as I walk in the love that God has given towards me and to me and in me and through me, I am so contented to know in my heart and to affirm daily I wouldn't want anything else in life except to know that I am loved of God, I am beloved of God, and I can love others simply because of God. Amen? A welcoming spirit, a welcoming community of faith, all because of the love of God. And how does this contented walk flow out as a sweet-smelling savor unto God? It is that aroma, that cheerful, delightful aroma, where God Himself gives us the benediction, the welcoming blessing, that as we receive His love and pour it out, He accepts our good works to the praise of His glory. And as a little pebble is the drop of His love dropped in the middle of the lake, it configures again and it moves out and out and out. And it touches the hundreds of others that we least expect, because His love has touched us so that we can touch one and they can touch others through our good works that comes before God as a welcoming savor. We all painfully experience the pungent, rotten egg smell that comes from leaking natural gas or the strong throat-burning smell of a sour personality. But love changes it all, and it brings out the freshness, the welcoming spirit that people want to connect with us because God Himself has already connected with us. In 1 Kings 9:25, Solomon, upon completing the temple, burned incense unto the Lord. The scripture tells us that this was accepted unto God as an offering of righteousness, of a righteous walk. For Solomon had earlier been told that the priests were to burn one golden spoon of 10 shekels full of incense with every animal offered. This offering, the sweet-smelling savor unto God, was of the most extended emptying of self to the welfare and the good of everyone else to the praise of God's glory. One needs to walk so upright that in and out of everything he does, it will become a welcoming praise to the glory of God. Can you imagine how delighted God is when you love each other? When you take somebody by the arm and do a good work in the name of Christ? Matthew 25 says, "If you even pour a cup of water in my name, it is done unto me." Or if you give a piece of bread, or if you give somebody a ride, or if you welcome at your table for supper, regardless what you do, if it's unto the Lord, in His name, to the praise of His glory, it's a sweet-smelling savor unto God. Don't you want to wake up every morning as a sweet-smelling favor to the Lord and say, today is going to be not a good day, it's going to be a God day. A God day as love exudes and pours out and effervesces out of my life so that they will see my good works. And they will indeed glorify God, which is in heaven. As we walk in His love, then, we pour ourselves out for the good of others. As we walk in His love, we declare liberty from bondage and healing to the sick and the feeble, the distressed, those that are in despair, those that are discouraged. We touch them with a word of edification and encouragement that they are valued by God. Because He loves them, and He waits patiently to pour into their heart the love that He so freely offers through Christ the Lord. As we walk in His love, we then endure reproach, offense, and persecution, even as He did, because we are faithfully, purposely, and willingly following God in love to the praise of His glory. Amen?
King of my life, while I fail thee now, may the glory be, lest I forget thy crown now, lead me to Calvary, lest I forget the Gethsemane, lest I forget thy agony, lest I forget for me, lead me to Calvary. Show me the tomb where thou wast slain, tender wound and rare. Angels in robes of thine array guarded the mark of sin. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget my cross, Lord, lead.
time you go by a cross, remember, it was the love of God through Christ to you that put him there. Amen? God bless you.